Hello and welcome to the Brave Business Podcast, brought to you by the accounting, tax, audit and advisory firm Blick Rothenberg. Brave by name and brave by nature, this series is different. Aimed at entrepreneurial businesses, we focus on providing practical guidance, timely insights and professional opinions from industry experts, helping you make informed decisions for your business. I'm Declan Curry, journalist and broadcaster. In today's episode, we're going to look at the UK's research and development tax regime. What is it? How does it work? How and why is it changing? And what does all that mean for entrepreneurial businesses? And how can you prepare for that change? Well, joining me to discuss all of this is Blick Rothenberg's R&D manager, Chris Heath. Chris, welcome to the podcast and to the conversation. Let's set out some terms. When we talk about the research and development that companies do and that the government wants to reward or incentivize, what are we talking about? Do you need to be looking for a cure for cancer, or is it just doing something in a smarter way?
It can be big things like that. It can be rocket science, and it literally is in some cases. But it doesn't have to be. What it has to be is seeking a technological or a scientific advance, be in software, it could be in motorsport, it could be in communications, pharmaceuticals, fintech, space. The important thing is that it is advancing beyond the baseline.
Just so I'm slightly clear, and the listeners might be help in their understanding as well, is it exclusively for invention? Or does it also cover innovation? So a different way of doing something that exists before.
It very much covers invention and innovation, so long as it is advancing technology or advancing science. So long as it is pushing things forward, then there could be grounds to make a claim.
So a new medical treatment, that's obviously something that's covered in it, something that's part of Britain's space industry that ends up floating around the cosmos, that could be part of it.
Absolutely.
What about a new app? Is that something that might be covered by this?
Potentially, yes. And the key is the app doing something that is technologically innovative? It has to be doing something new, and it has to be doing that in a way that is technological advance rather than just a commercial advance. So if you've got a new idea about how to do something a little bit different commercially, then that might not qualify. But if you're advancing the technology, then that's when you can qualify. And what there has to be, what's very, very central to all of this, is that there has to be technological uncertainty in order to qualify.
On a practical level, then, what does this research and development look like? Think about some of the clients you might work with or some of the businesses that you're familiar with. Practically, what are we talking about?
So we might be talking about, say, a company that's in automotive, motorsport. Maybe they're developing new technology that's really going to push forward electric vehicles, things that are going to make them more sustainable, more efficient. Or maybe we're talking about something in software, maybe developing a new way of searching for something online. Maybe it's in fintech. Perhaps it's navigating its way through a range of complex systems to achieve a goal, and like in a big financial services institution or something like that, something where the systems may be very, very complex and you're coming up with a product that can achieve something really useful, something really meaningful.
I just wonder, is there a checklist? You know, when you're talking to potential clients, are there five things that if you say yes to these, then you're doing research and development and you should be claiming some tax credits for that or tax help with that?
Really key to all of this, what is the baseline technology? What are you doing that goes beyond that? Are you going beyond that and therefore advancing science or technology?
Okay, so those are the tests.
There's other things like you have to be resident, you have to be a company that's subject to UK tax. You have to be doing the R&D for yourself, for the company itself. The rules are changing in that respect. At the moment, you can also do it if you're being subcontracted to do it by another company. But the rules on that are really tightening up.
Okay, we'll look at some of the changes in a moment or two. But as a position of policy, governments have over the years said, We want to encourage companies to do research and development, and we want to reward those that are doing it. Why is that important?
Governments always want to have a vibrant, buzzing tech sector, science sector, for so many reasons. It's great for the economy. It's great for society. It's exciting. It's fun. It makes the UK an exciting place to invest. We're naturally very, very good at this. We've got a very, very broad set of skills here, very, very diverse workforce and all of this. And so it's right that the government incentivizes companies to do this.
This is the key to unlocking higher paid, better earning jobs, better skilled jobs in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is key to growing the workforce that we have in the UK, growing the skills that we have in the UK, and everything that goes around that, it leads to a very exciting tech and science sector in particular.
And you look at what's ahead of us with climate change and the new technologies we need for that, making transport more sustainable. We've got the development of quantum computing. We've got Britain's great medicine industry. Remember how quick we were getting the vaccine for coronavirus. All that underpinned by our scientific base. That's what we're talking about here.
Absolutely. That's scientific and technological base. And so in some cases, it's big companies, big groups that are doing this, that have got the money to do this. But a lot of the time, these ideas and entrepreneurs or startups that have got an idea, that have got some knowledge and have got the ability to push, to innovate, to keep trying until they achieve this type of innovation, this type of advance. But these businesses, a lot of the time, they don't have money, and it can be very difficult to keep a business going. And so the money that you can get from this, the reduction of the tax bill that you can get from R&D tax relief, it can be a very crucial lifeline to companies to keep them afloat in difficult times. And that's why it's such an important relief.
Well, Chris, let's look at these tax reliefs in more detail. What are they? How much are they worth?
So currently, for your R&D spend, for the money that you as a business are spending on staff, consumable and transformable materials, software, external workers that are doing qualifying R&D activities, working to push forward the boundaries of science and technology and doing activities that are contributing to doing that. For every £100 that you spend on that R&D expenditure, you can claim back £15 to £25. And if you've got a corporation tax liability, you can get that as a reduction to your tax bill. You can pay less tax, you can have more money in the bank.
A really obvious point. This isn't a grant, it isn't a loan. You've got to pay the tax in the first place, and then you get a refund on that.
Well, so that's if you're a taxpayer, you get this deduction from your tax liability, from the amount of tax that you have to pay. So it's paying less tax, it's less money out of the bank. But if you're a loss-making company, as a lot of startups are, where they're trying to develop something new, but they haven't started selling it yet, they can get a cash credit of £15 to £18 of every £100 that they spend on R&D at the moment. So that's potentially a very, very valuable lifeline to a lot of those companies that are in that early phase that really, really need the money to keep going.
But again, you've got to spend the money up front first.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You've got to spend that money on R&D, and then you can get some of it back.
And something that, again, talking to businesses, what I hear from some smaller firms at times is they don't know this help is there. And if they do know it's there, they don't know how to get it. Is there advice you can offer them?
Talk to people that are experienced in claiming it. Talk to other businesses that are innovating. There's lots of information online, but early on, talk to somebody that knows the subject really well and can help you to claim confidently. There's a lot of miscommunication out there. So talk to somebody that's experienced in claiming R&D tax relief, and they'll help you to navigate through.
I think for some of our listeners, that might sound like free money. Fantastic, let's get it.
And if you are an innovative business and you're advancing science or or technology and then you might qualify, then that's, it's not free money because you've really had to exert yourself. There's been a lot of blood, sweat and tears that have got into that.
And this is for companies big and small. Is there a difference in approach between sort of large corporates that are, you know, doing huge amounts of research all the time and smaller businesses?
Absolutely. But smaller businesses can get a higher rate of relief at the moment if they qualify for the SME regime. There are two regimes. There's one called the SME regime for small and medium enterprises, and that is currently more generous than the larger regime, which is called RDEC. And with a higher rate of relief, currently at £16 to £21 for the SME regime, which is more than the sort of £15 to £16 under the RDEC regime, and potentially cash credit of up to £18 for those SMEs. Those regimes are increasingly coming together in the future, but at the moment there's the two. And to get into that SME regime, you can be, just in laypeople's terms, you've got to have less than 500 employees and also either revenues of less than 100 million euros or assets of less than 86 million euros. So we're talking about companies that can get to quite a substantial size that can still potentially claim under the SME regime. But you do also need to consider the wider group. If it's a group of companies that's got a parent company and that's maybe got other subsidiaries, and you also need to consider the ownership more broadly. If there's an individual at the top that owns other businesses as well, then you may need to consider them as well.
But if you are running a business that might qualify under these rules as a small business, do you have a choice as to which of the two regimes you can choose from, or do you have to go down that small business route?
It's purely based on the facts, but if you can get down the smaller SME route, then that's a more lucrative route to go down at the moment. And they need a higher rate of relief because this is the startups, this is the bootstrapping companies that really need that help if they can get it.
There has been some sort of conversation in years gone by, some discussion that the government has been making it less generous for small businesses, or more difficult for small businesses to apply for R&D help. Is there any validity in that?
Gradually, we have seen the rates reduce for small businesses, whereas for larger businesses that are in the other scheme, the RDEC scheme, it's gone up as the two gradually come together. So there is less relief available now for small businesses.
Less than there was.
Less than there was, but it's still worth doing. We're still looking at potentially £16 to £21 off of your tax bill, or £18 of cash for every £100 that you spend on R&D if you're a loss-making SME. And there's a higher rate that's now available if you're what's classed as an R&D intensive company.
Now, what does that mean?
And that means if 40% or more, under the current rules, of your spend is on qualifying R&D, then you can get a higher rate of relief. If you're loss-making, you can get a cash credit of £27. So that's £27 of every £100 that you spend on R&D back, which is very helpful for those companies. But again, as with the SME calculation, there's certain complications that you've got to consider when you're working out if you meet that 40% threshold. You do also have to consider other companies in the group as well. So the sort of companies that can really benefit from that, if you're a standalone startup, you're not part of a wider group, you're spending at least 40% of what you're spending on R&D, then you can get that higher rate back and that higher rate of cash in the door.
The complexity of this suggests to me that you probably need someone by your side while you're considering these different schemes and when you're making the application.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is a really, really valuable relief, but there are a lot of complexities to it as well. And that's why it is really, really important to have someone that's got experience of doing this and the pitfalls and the risks to help you navigate through it so that you can take it all in your stride.
Is there a timetable here? Is there a point when you should apply for this relief? When you're doing the research, or after you've done it, or when you're planning it? Are some of these reliefs available now but might not be in a year's time. Talk to me around that area.
So it's all based on financial years. You've got to finish your accounting period, years or less than a year if you've got a 6 month accounting period. Once you finish that period, then you can claim the relief, and you claim the relief when you submit your corporate tax return. So the sooner you can get that filed after year end, the sooner you can claim the relief. And then that can take some time to process before you actually get it through. But you've just got to finish your accounting period. There are rules coming in which are going to mean that companies are going to have to notify HMRC within 6 months of your year end that you're planning to make an R&D claim. Historically, there's been a lot of time to file an R&D claim, up to 2 years after the end of your accounting period.
Okay, that sounds like an important change. So there is a ticking clock by which time you must notify the revenue that you're going to make a claim. If you miss that, does that mean you can't get it?
Unfortunately, it does. Yeah, absolutely. And this is quite a significant change that is coming into effect.
When is it coming into effect?
It's in effect now for certain businesses that it catches.
And one important thing right now is that there is a ticking clock. You've now got to tell the revenue you're going to make a claim within a certain amount of time.
That's right. And the businesses that are caught by this new requirement are businesses that are looking at filing an R&D claim for the first time. A lot of the time it's going to be those startups, those people that that haven't necessarily got experience of making these claims. So they really need to be aware of this. If their year end is 31st of March 2024, that's mainly when this is going to start taking effect. They are then going to have 6 months to notify HMRC that they wish to make an R&D claim. And so from 31st of March 2024, we're going to be seeing a lot more of this requirement taking effect. So if you're filing that R&D claim for the first time, or if you haven't claimed one for 3 years or more, then you're going to have to make this notification that's going to include various information about the claim as well. It's not to be taken lightly. It is going to be a significant submission. They are going to have 6 months after the year end to notify HMRC that they plan to.
Right. So not 6 months after when the work stops or anything, but 6 months from the end of your accounting year.
That's exactly it. This is all about accounting.
And if you miss that deadline, what are the consequences?
Then, unfortunately, you won't be able to file a claim.
In the most recent budget, the Chancellor talked a lot about the importance of research. Did he make any big changes that we should be aware of? Or are there changes coming through the pipeline from previous budgets that are now coming into effect that we should keep in mind?
There's various changes that are coming through the pipeline that have been introduced or talked about in previous budgets. There was very little on R&D tax relief in the last budget. Lots on R&D, lots of talk about R&D and innovation and why we want to encourage that, but very little actually on R&D tax relief itself, which is good in many ways because businesses have already got quite a lot to process here in terms of the changes that have already been made.
So, Chris, what changes are coming through the pipeline now from those previous budgets that we need to be aware of?
So the current two R&D regimes that we talked about, the SME regime and the RDEC regime, they will be merging into one for most businesses, except for those businesses that meet the R&D intensive criteria, for accounting periods beginning on or after 1st of April 2024. And under that new merged scheme, claimants will be entitled to a cash payment of up to £16.20 for every £100 that they spend on R&D. If you are an R&D intensive SME with just 30% or more of their total spend, then they'll be able to claim a cash credit of up to £26.97. So, you know, very nearly £27 for every £100 that they spend on R&D.
The other conversation that's been going on in the background is the fear that some businesses may have been claiming help with research and development costs, and they shouldn't really have been getting it, that some of the claims may even have been fraudulent. Now, that's something that the Chancellor has, from memory, he's mentioned this in previous budgets. It's certainly something that he's acted on. What's he doing?
So this has been a really big deal, and this has really shaped the R&D landscape over the last 2 to 3 years, not just in terms of how companies claim, but in terms of how companies do R&D, because it can really impact the funding that they have and their ability to continue. R&D tax relief goes back in the UK to 2000, when it was first conceived. It was always popular. It got more and more popular, more and more businesses claimed. But up until a few years ago, it was also relatively unchecked. So it was very, very easy for businesses to get a claim through. And HMRC and the government have perceived that that's led to a lot of fraudulent claims going through, things that don't actually meet the tax definition of R&D, that don't actually meet that criteria, just making a claim for actual free money. And so a recent government estimated more than £1 billion of relief being fraudulently claimed in the 2020.
£1 billion,
that's right, of R&D relief being falsely, fraudulently claimed in the 2022-2023 tax year. So a very, very, very large amount. You can never accurately measure something like that. I'm not sure how you'd accurately measure it, but that's their estimate. So in the last 2 to 3 years, HMRC have really taken a raft of measures to clamp down on this. One way that they've been doing this is by challenging a lot more claims, raising a lot more inquiries on claims, and using a much larger team of people to check those claims. So we've been seeing that inquiries have been coming up a lot more frequently across the industry.
So looking for proof that it happened, looking for proof that it's valid.
Yes, both of those things. Yeah, looking for proof that the R&D was genuinely trying to advance science or technology, looking that the spend was valid, that it was actually in the right sort of categories, and that it actually happened, as well as the huge increase to the level of inquiries that have been happening. They've also changed the rules around the minimum amount of information that you need to include with a claim. So whereas in the past, the bare minimum amount of information that you would need to make an R&D claim would be, you would include that claim in your tax return.
Or just the numbers.
Just the numbers in the tax return, just the appropriate bits of the tax return completed accordingly. That was the bare minimum. So as of August of last year, that all changed. And the minimum amount needed to submit any claim in order to avoid it being rejected outright, was the new additional information form, which requires detailed, granular information about a company's R&D projects, including if they have multiple R&D projects, detailed information about the level and types of R&D spend, an individual at the company that takes over all responsibility for the claim, for more accountability. And all of this has got to be submitted upfront to avoid the claim being rejected outright.
The science, the technological work, do you say it has to be done here in the UK?
At the moment, no. This is another very significant change that's going to be coming through. Currently, the R&D can be done anywhere in the world, either by your employees, your people, or perhaps you're subcontracting it to another entity that's elsewhere in the world. There's certain rules about subcontracting that will impact your ability to claim that between the SME and the RDEC schemes, regimes. However, the R&D can be done anywhere in the world. And so for accounting periods beginning on or after 1st of April 2024, the R&D is going to have to be done in the UK unless it meets very, very strict requirements about why the R&D was done outside of the UK.
So for businesses that relied on overseas support for their R&D activities, the consequences for them are what?
They will no longer be able to claim those overseas R&D costs. Maybe you're a software developer and you've got a team of developers in Poland or elsewhere in the world, you're likely to have been able to claim those costs previously. You're not going to be able to do that anymore. The only exceptions to this are in cases where the R&D could not feasibly have been done in the UK, because HMRC sees things like software development as being something that we could be doing in the UK and should be encouraging to do in the UK. But there's certain things that just couldn't really be done in the UK. So let's say you're developing a type of footwear shoe for use in the desert, say. We just don't have desert conditions in the UK, so there might be a very good reason then to do it in a country that's got a desert in the Middle East.
Do the modified rules allow for that type of nuance and distinction?
Absolutely, yeah, that's the exception to the rule. But if it's something that could be done in the UK, then it's going to have to be done in the UK to claim it. That's for accounting periods beginning on or after 1st of April 2024. So it's for those companies that have got, say, a 31st of March 2023 year end, they will have to start thinking about how to respond to those changes.
Couple of broad questions. The science or technological work that you're doing and on which you are planning to claim help, financial help, do you need to have a patent on it?
Not at all. No.
Because that would be one way of really demonstrating that it is making a difference.
Potentially, yes. Yeah. However, you could get a patent for an idea perhaps that's commercially novel, but isn't necessarily advancing science or technology.
So it fails that test.
So a lot of the time there's overlap between the two. A lot of the time you might be doing R&D and get a patent, and that can help to demonstrate that it's novel, but it's certainly not the be-all and end-all.
This does sound like, and this is no bad thing, I say this without passing judgment, it does sound like a bonanza for consultants, whether it's consultants on how to write a compelling supporting document that proves to the revenue that your research and development is really up to scratch and deserves the help. And obviously, for those who give advice on tax and other business advisory services, such as your own firm, the complexity of this seems to suggest that there aren't many companies that can do this without help.
It is more important than ever before that you are working with somebody that is proficient in understanding the rules around R&D tax relief, because they are more complicated than they've ever been before. The stakes are higher than they've ever been before. HMRC are raising more inquiries than they've ever done before. However, it is still something that's well worth claiming. That's not something that should put companies off making R&D claims. Because it's still a valuable relief. It's still potentially very valuable cash in the door or money off of your tax bill. But it's more important than ever before to make sure that you've got a robust claim in place and robust and thorough documentation to support that.
And the overall consequence of the changes that we've discussed over the last 5 years, say, has it made the assistance less generous? Has it made it more targeted? Has it tilted more towards big companies than small companies? What's the big picture?
The big picture in terms of the companies that are claiming and that need to claim, it has become slightly less generous for SMEs, still well worth making the claim. For larger companies, on the other hand, it's become more generous, with that rate gradually stepping up over time, whilst we've seen a slight tapering down of the rate for SMEs. For larger companies, we've seen the rate gradually rising from £10 in every £100 that you can claim, going up to 15, and now going up to £16 for every £100 that you spend on R&D. So it's more generous for larger companies now, or companies that couldn't get into the SME regime in the past. Slightly less generous for SMEs, but still well worth claiming, particularly if you're an entrepreneurial startup that's in an R&D phase, that's not generating revenue or much revenue, and you're spending most of your money on R&D. It's particularly generous if you can get into that R&D intensive regime.
Because I know there's been this argument sort of in the background that maybe the government's help should be more targeted at bigger companies that do more research, because that has the greater impact. And it's an argument that lots of small businesses get really wound up about, because they say this is where the real sort of coalface innovation takes place.
Rightly so, because people have got to be able to innovate. It tends not to be something that you can do for free. It tends not to be cheap. It's something that needs money, needs funding to be able to do, to be able to sustain. And so incentivizing that is very important. And if we were to stop incentivizing it and people just wouldn't have the money to do it, that'd be a real shame.
Chris, thank you so much. It's been a really fascinating discussion, and it's been we're grateful to you for walking us through the complexity and giving us some good advice as well. If you'd like to listen to other Brave Business episodes, you can find them on your favourite podcast service. Or for further insights to help entrepreneurial business, you can visit Blick Rothenberg's Entrepreneurs Hub. You'll find it at www.blickrothenberg.com/entrepreneurs. I'm Declan Curry. This has been the Blick Rothenberg Brave Business Podcast. Thank you so much for being part of our conversation.